Colossians chapter 4. As we last few weeks, we've been talking about hindrances. I'm talking about in a Christian's life, hindrances that we have. There's hindrances for lost world as the devil tries to hinder them from getting saved. And there's other hindrances as the devil tries to hinder us from witnessing to people and things to that nature. But I'm talking about hindrances that will hurt your spiritual walk. That will hurt your spiritual walk. God wants us to walk with Him in each and every day. And, take up our cross daily and follow Him. And the devil knows that when you get saved, that you have eternal life. But his goal is to ruin your testimony. Try to get your testimony to be destroyed, that you cannot be an influence to others to bring them to Christ or to prevent others from coming to the Lord. So it's a blessing that you're saved, but these hindrances could hurt us. I talked about hindrances to our prayer lives, and there's a lot of things out there that could prevent our prayer lives, our prayers from getting through. It doesn't mean that you've lost your relationship. It's your fellowship that's been hindered. Last week, I talked about bitterness and how all of us as Christians can have bitterness, that seed of bitterness that goes into that heart. And what will happen is it'll have a place where it'll root and then it'll spring up and defile you. And the Bible says many shall be defiled, right? There's many that are affected by it. Now tonight I'm going to preach about worldliness. That's the next one. Worldliness, about hindrances. We'll talk about worldliness. So what do I mean by worldliness, right? So you can take a definition of this. The condition of a Christian who follows the fleshly waves of the world. The condition of a Christian who follows the fleshly waves of the world. Now, the Amish have their worldliness, right? And that's not worldliness, right? My wife, I remember one time my wife, she saw an Amish guy come out of, what was it, a beer store or whatever? Was it a beer store or whatever? I think it was a beer. Now, that is, I don't know if, what you would say, but that is about as wrong as you can get. Amen. But anyway, I'm not talking about not having electricity. I'm not talking about cars and things to that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing biblical with that. But I want to talk about things that ultimately that could get us to follow these fleshly waves of the world. Sometimes in the Bible you also see it as cardinal. Cardinal, it's not the bird, it's just how I speak, C-A-R-N-A-L, cardinal, or fleshly Christian. 1 Corinthians is a good book where you'll see that a cardinal Christians, they were cardinal, and because they were cardinal, what happened? There were divisions and envy that was there. So anyway, in Colossians chapter 4, I want you to look here at verse 14. So hindrances. Look here what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician. Amen. Praise the Lord for Luke. He was there for Paul and helped Paul. What a blessing it is. And look here in verse 14. And Demas greet you. There was a gentleman named Demas who was with Paul during this time where Paul was out in the ministry trying to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to bring people to the Lord. So you think about Demas as a saved person. Demas loved God, loved serving the Lord. But you know what then happened to Demas? Look what the Bible says. You go over a few books to the right in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, so we could see here Demas in Colossians says, greet thee, right? He was there with the ministry while he saw God give Paul the words to write for the scripture. I mean, he was there. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you look at verse 10, look what the Bible says here. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He left. He was with Paul. He was in the ministry. He saw the works that God was doing with Paul. I mean, what a blessing that must have been. And here it is, Paul, through the Scriptures. So you think about God told Paul to write this, right? And he writes about Demas. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas, that can I tell you, this world drew him. And that man who started out that was serving God, at this time, he wasn't serving God anymore. The world got him. Can I tell you, I want you to understand, it doesn't matter who you are as a Christian. You could be a babe in Christ. You could be a mature Christian, a seasoned Christian. You could be saved a week. You could be saved 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it would be. How many years that you're saved here today. Can I tell you, this world can draw you away. This world, again, I'm not talking about what the Amish is talking about as electricity and stuff like that. But this world, the things of this world can get your attention. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people today that started out well, and that love of money, it's not money itself, but it's love of money is the root of all evil. And here it was, a job opportunity opened up for them, and they went over and took that job. God's not opposed to people working. Amen? In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, let's see here. For even when we were with you, thus we commanded you, for if any would not work, neither should he eat. Amen? So God's not against working. God's telling you that you should work. Amen? And people that aren't working, well, they shouldn't eat, right? You know what that will do? They'll encourage people to eat. Amen? Encourage people to work. Amen? You want to eat? You got to work. Amen? But anyway, God's not opposed to working. But the reality is, there's people that have been drawn away from God because of a job, and it took them out of the center of God's will, and now they're nowhere. You know, they may be making a lot of money, but this world got them. And here it is, Demas was someone, he says, has forsaken me. Look what the Bible says over here to Titus. Titus, you go to the left in your Bible. Titus chapter 2. I'm sorry, go right in your Bible. I don't know my left and right, I guess, amen. Go right in your Bible. Titus chapter 2. So remember that of Demas. So worldliness, a condition of a Christian who follows the fleshly ways of the world, right? A desire to fit in with the world, amen? Instead of standing up for God, worldliness. Look what the Bible says here in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, look here at verse 12. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen? God wants us to live holy. Amen? God wants us to live a life that is, you think about it, is separated. Now again, I'm not talking about separation as the Amish, right? But separated from sin, amen? Yes, I know we have the sin nature, and you're always going to have that sin nature. You're never going to lose that sin nature until you go to heaven. Praise the Lord. Looking forward to that day. But the reality is, God hasn't called us home yet. And because God hasn't called us home, that means we're always going to battle that sin nature. But the reality is, we should make sure we put up walls to keep us away from things. Amen? Things of the world. You think about it as a Christian. Before I got saved on Friday night, you know what you would have found me? You would have found me in a bar room. You know, you would have found me Saturday night in a bar room. You know, you may have found me on Sunday night in a bar room. You know where you may have found me on Tuesday night? In a bar room. On Wednesday night, probably in a bar room. Matter of fact, you probably found me in a bar room probably most of the days. It would have been easier to go to the bar room to find me than not going to the bar room. But when I've been saved, since I accept Christ as my Savior, you're not going to find me in a bar room. Amen? You're not going to find me. So if you think about it, that's worldly. It's ungodly. Amen? So stay away. Here it is. He's telling us. He says, and denying ungodliness and worldly lust, these things that will draw you. Amen? What is it? It draws your flesh. draws your flesh. He goes on and says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, there should be something different in our lives as Christians. Now, we're not doing these things to earn salvation or keep salvation. We should be doing these things because we love the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. I remember my dad, he told me after he got saved, my dad was a drunk. And after he got saved, he dumped out all his alcohol. And there was one time, I don't know what it was, maybe within a couple months after he got saved, 6 months down the road, whatever. I think he said it was my mom or someone else that asked him and said, hey, why don't we go out to the bar? And my dad, he was maybe in a weak moment in his Christian life. He was thinking, you know, it probably won't hurt if I just go there just one time. And my dad told me as he was going there and he got close to that door, it was right by that bar room to go in. He said the Holy Spirit convicted him and said, what are you doing? Don't go in that place. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, there should be something different in our lives. Amen. Here it is. He's talking about these worldly lusts. Amen. Trying to fit in with the world. Look what the Bible says over here to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2. Recently, I was talking to a young man, and he was talking about his church. And their church, they have a... They brought in or they have a youth pastor that will not take a stand against alcohol. I was like, what? And here is this young man that's talking to him and he's saying, well, you know, why won't you take a stand, right? Well, the chances are it's because that youth pastor probably enjoys having a beer or two. Amen. And this young man was trying to tell him, hey, that's not of God. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, it's crazy. We're living in a world today. At one time, it was easy for people to say, whoa, that's wrong. But today, it's like, what is it, that line? People are trying to get rid of that line, amen? Folks, ask yourself this simple question. I mean, really ask yourself. Do you see Jesus drinking a Budweiser?
No.
Matter of fact, when you heard that thought, what was the thought that went through your mind? That's almost like blasphemy, right? It's not, but you know what I mean? Why is it what you would say Jesus would not drink a Budweiser? Because the same reason for you, too. It's wrong. Amen? Do you understand? You wouldn't see him do something like that. Amen? So why is it that... Anyway, these worldly things. Demas, what is this? Present world. Amen? Present world. Got him. But look what the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. So again, I'm talking about hindrances. Amen? Hindrances, these things, the things of the world. Can I tell you, if you go and you're sinning and doing these things, it's going to affect your walk. It's going to hurt your walk. I mean, our desire should be please the Lord. You know, he saved me. He died for me. So the reality is, I love my wife and I recently, we were able to, where do we go? Clayton. I love down in Clayton. If you haven't been down to Clayton, it's a good place to go. You can go down there and walk. That's down there. And my wife and I recently went down there, and we were able to walk, and it was a blessing. I held her hand as we were walking, and we were going to different places, and we got a coffee because that was for me. Amen. And we went to a restaurant to eat. I think that was for me. And what else did we do? Oh, we went to the store. That was for you. Amen. So, but anyway, what I'm saying is, I wasn't doing that. I was, because I enjoyed time with my wife, holding her hand. Amen. And the fellowship that we had and just talk. Can I tell you, I enjoy every single day be able to, and don't misunderstand. I mean, I'm not holding Jesus' hand. Amen. And walk, but the reality is he's in my heart. And just to talk to him. Amen. And I don't want nothing to take me away from that fellowship that I can have with him. Amen. And that's what I'm trying to get you across to think about. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. And so again, he's not talking about that you can't have, you know, that Kleenex box that is, you know, that's there. There's one that's over here. You know, you think about it, that's in the world. He's not referring to a Kleenex box. He's not saying you can't have a Kleenex box, right? So he defines what he means by these world, right? He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You may ask, what is the world? Well, this is what he defines it. For all that is in the world, here it is, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, right? It's, you think about the flesh battles the spirit. They're the complete opposite, right? Here it is, he's saying that lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen? So here it is, he's defining what he means by the world. We see the definition, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Do you remember when the devil tempted our Lord as he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? You know what he did? He tried to use these things here to our Lord. Folks, I want you to understand, the devil hasn't changed. He's still doing the same things. If you fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these things. Amen? What is it, these things of the world? That's what he was saying in Matthew. Well, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. He's the creator of all things. Amen. The Lord allowed that. It showed that he is the Son of God, but also showed that he was tempted. He was tried, but without sin, without blemish. Amen. He had to go through the suffering, the persecution. He had to be tempted in all points, yet without sin. Because if he was not tempted, then how we know he was a perfect sacrifice? Well, you could see that, amen? But anyway, isn't that what the devil does? The devil will tell other people, hey, come on. You don't have to surrender to God. I'll give you all these things. Amen? Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, Demas is in heaven today thinking, poof, 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 poof. Amen? What did I do? No, he's right. Everything's good by now, amen? He's not still banging his head that's there, amen? But anyway, these fleshly things, amen? Look what the Bible says over here, the 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Bible tells us, I was giving you this verse earlier, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money itself. There's nothing wrong if God has blessed you and you have money. I remember in 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, there's a missionary that I know that he knew a guy that went to their church or went to a church that he knew was a millionaire. But you would have never known it. He loved God. And God blessed him. God blessed him with a good job. And I think he owned a car dealership. And he would try to help out missionaries and preachers. If they needed a car, he would say, hey, you come over. And he would give them a great deal or help them out, whatever he would do, right? I mean, God really blessed him. You wouldn't know it. His God was not money. His God was God. Amen? But there's some people, the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, sometimes people take this, twist it around, and say, that could be only rich people. No, that's not what that verse says. You can be the poorest of the poor and still have a problem with greed. The love of money is the root of all evil. Coveting, I want more. Can I tell you, that's a lot of people today, right? Coveting, amen? Can I tell you, we should be satisfied with what God has given us, amen? Be satisfied with what we have. It says, which while some have coveted after, look at this, they have erred from the faith. Worldliness, love of money, right? And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Do you know if money, truly if money gave you happiness, then why would millionaires and billionaires never get a divorce? They would never get a divorce, right? No, they do. Amen? Some of them that are multimillionaires and billionaires have been divorced 3, 4, 5, 6. You keep on counting, amen? Higher than probably Mia can count. I don't know how high she can count, but they may be up there, amen? But anyway, we could see this. What is it? The worldliness. Look what the Bible says back here to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, worldliness. Our Lord gave an example. He gave a parable, right? And in this parable, he gave how people respond to God's word. And look what he tells us here in this parable. And the blessing is in this parable, then he defines it for us so we can clearly understand it, right? In Mark 4, verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then shall ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown among stony ground. So first he gives an example of those by the wayside that are there. What is it? They have the word of God that's there. Their heart is hardened, right? Their heart is just hardened there. It goes on top. They just don't care. And the devil says, good, I'll take that away. I don't want that seed to go into your heart, because he knows if that seed go into your heart, what will happen? That it could be planted, and that it will be watered, and it could bring forth fruit. Why? Because someone gets saved. And what does that devil say? Nope, I'll take it away. You know, sometimes there's some people that are so closed to God, they don't like to hear God. They close up. I don't want to hear. Then your heart is hardened, you know? You're just like Pharaoh. I mean, you think about it in the Old Testament, Pharaoh. You ever go through and think about it? You wonder if they had stoves back in those days to cook from? Well, sure. Pharaoh had stoves. You know why? Because the Bible says the frogs came and went into their stoves. Amen? They may have been the first one with frog legs. I don't know. Amen? But anyway, here is all these things that would happen to him. The flies and stuff. I mean, you think about all this destruction that happened to Egypt. And what was Pharaoh? His heart was hardened. That even the magicians that came in and was scratching their heads and looked at Pharaoh and said, you do know this is the hand of God. And what was it? He's like, it's on my terms. And then when Moses told him about one time, he says, hey, when should I remove this plague from you? And Pharaoh's kind of like, oh, I'll tell you how big I am tomorrow. You big dummy, why'd you allow a plague to last another day? If someone gave me an opportunity to say, hey, when you want this trial to your life? Yesterday. No, tomorrow. Why? Because his heart was hardened. He didn't understand the goodness and the blessing of God. God wanted to save that man. And then God said, you know what? I'll just use you. And God did. He hardened his heart, and God said, all right. God hardened his heart and said, I'll use you for my glory. Amen? And God did. Amen? But look what he says here about this stony ground. Where are we at? Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves. They're not saved people. Right? They're just following along. And so endure but for a time, and afterwards, when affliction and persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. Look at this. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Look at this. The cares of this world, worldliness, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Worldliness. Can I tell you, you can be born again, get saved, and that devil is going to try to get you to fit in with the world. What I mean by getting you to do things that is just not right. Amen? Worldliness. Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You're probably thinking tonight, is there a lot that's on worldliness? Well, there's a lot that's in this book on worldliness. Amen. Look here in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, look down here, verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I want you to think about that just for a moment. Think about Pharaoh, the power of Pharaoh, the money of Pharaoh. Think about what Pharaoh could have gave his grandson. Amen? Those that are here that are grandparents, how much you love your grandkids. You love your kids, but you love your grandkids. Amen? I know that you do. Amen? I haven't found too many grandparents. I don't know if I found too many. I'm sure there's some that's out there that ever say, I don't like my grandkids. Right? Most of them are saying, you know what? I hope they have more. Amen. The parents are like, oh, no, right? And but the grandparents are like, have more, right? You love those grandkids, amen? It, no ideas, Oriana. You have to wait. Be married, amen? Get married, amen? But anyway, yeah, you got time, amen? You can get married when you get 50, amen? When you get 50, then you have grandkids, amen? So anyway, how did I get on that? Well, make sure I clear on that, right? So anyway, grandkids, how wonderful they are, right? And some of you grandparents, you spoil your grandkids. Amen? Probably all of them. Yeah, you're already guilty that's back there, right? And if you, I'm sure, always obey what your parent, your children would tell you to, you know, for your grandkids, if they're saying they don't want this, and abide by that. Ariana, we have talked before, and she's like, when you know, in the future, you know, you have my daughter or son, you're going to give them a bunch of sweets. I said, no, if you say no, then I won't. Amen.
Well, if you keep them that night.
Oh, if I keep them that night. See, she already has some wisdom. Amen. It's good, amen. It's fine. Dog will probably be dead by then, or if not, she will die, amen. The grandkids will pull the ear out or whatever. But what I'm saying is, you love grandkids. You would do whatever you could for your grandkids. I guarantee you, some in here as grandparents, and I know parents would do it too, as grandparents, if you could, you would say, look to your wife and say, honey, we're not going to go out to eat tonight. We were going to go to a nice place. We're not going to go because, you know, Jimmy, Bobby, whatever your grandson needs something, and I just want to get him something. And I'm sure that grandmother would look there and say, yeah, that'd be okay, right? I'll give up some of my candy that I was going to buy or whatever it is, you know, because you love those grandkids. You don't think Pharaoh would have loved his grandson? And here's Moses when he was come to years, when he had to make that decision. Amen? It says here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The worldliness. Think about Moses was a believer. And he had to make the decision. He says, nope, I'm going to follow God. Amen? I am not going to follow the pleasure of sin for a season. Look at this. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches, look at this, than the treasurers in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Amen. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. Imagine how much, I don't know, gold that Pharaoh had or whatever. I mean, Moses could have, he could have had, whoa. He says, nope, nothing in this world is better than serving him. Amen. I would rather serve him than have all that. Amen? Amen? Worldliness. But can I tell you, there's a lot of people who are saying, nah, Huh? Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Amen? Look what the Bible says over here to the book of 2 Timothy. Look over here to 2 Timothy. Worldliness. Look over here to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look what the Bible says here, starting at verse 1. This was Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God told Paul what to write to Timothy, who was a young preacher, and he wanted Timothy to hear this. It was also a warning to all preachers, but it's also a warning to us as believers, right? And look what he says here, starting at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Amen. He is the ultimate judge. He's the judge of those that are saved and those that are lost. Amen. Those that are lost will give an account of their life, their sin, and be cast in the lake of fire. Those that are saved, we are in heaven, praise the Lord. But you will still give an account of your life. And here it is, Paul is warning Timothy these things. And look what he says. Preach the word. He's telling Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, preach. Preach, don't preach your opinions. Don't preach on things that don't matter. Preach the word. Look what he says. Be instant in season and out of season. Barb, when they like the preaching, preach it. Dave, when they don't like it, preach it. Amen? That's what he says. In season, out of season. Amen. Can I tell you, this world in the last 50 some years have greatly changed. What our society called sin 50 years ago, most people in the society won't call sin today. If you think about homosexuality as one thing, 50 years ago people would have called it sin. Now, we should never hate people. Amen. Don't ever hate anyone. But we should hate sin. 50 years ago, most churches would have preached and said, that's sin. And now, most churches won't say it's sin anymore. It's still sin, amen? That's sin, adultery, sin, fornication, sin. I mean, there's a lot of sin, amen? But anyway, it says, preach the word. Look what he says. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. When you hear messages, if every single message is flowery, well, the reality is there's something wrong, amen? Not every message is going to be flowery. Amen? So here it is. He says rebuke. Amen? How could you rebuke if every message is flowery? Now you can give people the good news. Amen? That's there. But you have to show them the sin. And look what he says here in verse 3. For the time will come, right here, and we're in these days. Look at this. When they will not endure sound doctrine. Adore. You know why? Sometimes preaching hurts. It steps on your toes. Amen? Do you ever have someone step on your toe and it's like, whoa, you know, that hurts. Now, preachers, we're not coming and stepping on your toes. Amen. I'm not jumping over there and just stepping on your toes. Amen. But what I mean by that is when I preach, the Holy Spirit may work on your heart about something and be like, no, you shouldn't do that. Right? You know, that's not right. You know? You know, on your taxes, you should have claimed this, but you didn't. Oh, you stepped on my toes. Right? All I said was a little white lie. But that's a lie! Oh, you stepped on my toes, right? Whatever it would be, amen? And here it is, he says, you won't adore. A lot of people don't like preaching from the Bible. People don't like preaching against sin. They won't endure sound doctrine. And look what the Bible says here as a warning. But after their own lust, you know what that is? Worldliness. After their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Preachers that are get up and say, what do you want me to preach? Or what don't you want me to preach? You don't want me to preach on that a boy can't be a girl? I won't touch that subject. No, it's wrong! A boy can be a boy and a girl can be a girl, and that's it. Can't cross over. Amen? So anyway, how do we get on this? God wants you to hear it. It says, teachers having itching ears. And look at this, verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Just tell me things that's all flowery. Everything's going to be all right. You know? I can't do that to you. Amen? I mean, I can, but I would be wrong. Amen? You know? It's those that are here, you could tell there's been sometimes your life, you've been serving God, trying to be faithful with God, and what happened? You have gone through some persecution. People had made fun of you, mocked at you, people saying all kinds of things. Why? Because you love God. We're not living in a godly world. Amen? We're living in a wicked world. Amen? This present evil world, as the Bible calls it. Amen? Now, please, don't misunderstand. I love the world that God has given us. Amen? To live in. Amen? But I hate sin. But anyway, what is he saying? Preachers having itching ears. Amen? People, what? Worldliness. Worldliness. Amen? People don't... Do you ever think about this? Is all music good and acceptable?
No.
No. Really? Well, no, there is music that's good, right? But can I tell you, worldliness. There's music, and what they do is they take rock music, and then they move it over and they put Christian words to it. It's still rock music. It just has Christian words to it. I'll give you an example. I have someone that I know that hates God. Says he's an atheist. Recently talking to him, he has changed. You know, so he's still not a believer. He believes there's God, higher power. I don't know what he's, so he's still lost. But anyway, he had a girlfriend. His girlfriend was a Christian, or claimed to be Christian. I don't know if she was saved or not. That's between her and the Lord. And she invited him to a Christian concert, a rock concert. This atheist, person that wants nothing to do with God, then wrote something on Facebook or wherever it was, can't remember it was, is that is no different from where I go. That was great. Where he goes, these rock concerts he goes to. He said it's all the same. There's something wrong, amen? Folks, can I tell you, just because the words may be good, some of them aren't good, but if you have the beat that's not, there's something wrong with it, right? But at the same time, you can have one that's a melody like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, and you put the words to it that's wicked. That's wrong, right? If you don't think the devil's behind that, go back and look. When the devil was created, he had instruments. He knows the what music can do. You don't think music and the beat can do anything? You know, Arlo's not here, but you take a little baby and you have music that's on. You'll see that little boy go back and forth, right? The beat, right? They go to it, amen? And a lot of times what it is people look for that feeling, right? Feeling, amen? Folks, could I tell you, music, you think about it, ask yourselves, is it worldly? Do you think Jesus would get up and sing some of those songs from Metallica or for that guy that just recently died?
No.
No way. So why is it okay for you to sing them? Oh, preacher, getting... Well, yeah, I'm preaching on worldliness. I'm trying to help you here. Amen. Anyway, look what the Bible says here. Let's go. Where else am I going to go? Amen. Let me give you another example. I'm almost done here. Go over here to 2 Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, in 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, I want you to see something here. In 2 Peter chapter 2, yeah, amen. That little girl singing the Bible song, amen. That's good, amen. Yeah. Out of the mouth of babes, as they say, amen. In 2 Peter chapter 2, look here, verse 7 and 8. Look how God describes Lot. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. And deliver just Lot. Now that word just, if you look at it, talks about righteousness. And you may say, how do you know? Well, because we know it wasn't just Lot, right? His daughters did go too. It says, look at this. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. What was it? That world drew him in. Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you didn't think just was righteous, God makes sure you know in the next verse. For that righteous man, who called him that? God did. God said Lot was righteous. He was a saved man. But what? He was living in the world. That righteous man dwelleth among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. If you don't think as a righteous person that you can be drawn into the world, the devil already has a step up on you. God calls him righteous. And what was it? Do you remember when him and Abram, the herdsman, got in a little fight, and Abram's like, hey, we can't do this, right? You know why? Because he knew of his testimony. It wasn't good testimony to have people working for you getting in the fight. And he looked at Lot and said, Lot, you pick a side. Which direction do you want to go? Right? Any which way. And he looked. And he looked towards Sodom. And he's like, wow, look at that. I see those glimmering lights that are there. And that's the place I want to go. And he didn't go into there directly. But he placed his tent facing that way. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Genesis. In Genesis, I'm getting there, I promise you. In Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13. So in Genesis chapter 13, what I was just describing to you, if you look at verse 5 down through the end of the chapter, you'll see at verse 10, you can see where he lifted up his eyes, right? And he chose this way, but he still didn't go into it. And look here at verse 12. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And how did God describe Sodom? And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That world drew him in. And what happened over time? Get down to chapter 19 and verse 1. When God told Abraham what was going to happen, and God spared Lot. But look what the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. His tent, because he kept his eyes on that wickedness, the worldliness, it drew him in. Drew him in. And it came to a place he was there in the gate. You keep on getting your eyes on the wickedness or on the sin and say, you know, and the devil will say, come on, come on. And don't be surprised when he gets you. Amen? Thank God he can't get your soul if you're born again. And what happened? When God came, those angels came and said, hey, we're going to take you out of this place to destroy it. That man, think about it, was with Abram. He could have said, Abram, no, let's get this taken care of and stayed with the man of God. Nope, he went at the opposite direction or the way he shouldn't have went. And the Bible says in verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord would destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law, right? You keep on getting closer to the world. And I'm talking about the sin, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, those things. And you keep on getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And don't be surprised that day when your son and daughter are doing things they shouldn't and say, hey, up and let's go to church. But Dad, you don't go. Mom, you don't go. And you'll seem like one who mocks. Dad, you're talking about, remember you used to put golfing in front of God, or you used to put sports before God. You're telling me now to put God first? Come on. As mocked. And that, because of that sin nature, during that worldliness, he knew then that day that he lost his daughters and he lost his wife. That world drew her so much that while they were leaving, she loved the world so much that she turns. And then, pillar of salt. You know, I don't know. Maybe she turned because of her daughters. I don't know, but she wasn't supposed to turn. Folks, all I can tell you is this. If you don't think worldliness will hinder you, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Allow our walk to be a walk that we make sure every day, Lord, what I'm doing, is this pleasing you? Is there anything that was going to take me away from you in my walk with you? Lord, I just want to walk with you and help me to keep sin out. Lord, the Bible says even the appearance of evil, abstain from the appearance of evil. Even if it looks evil, God says, hey, stay away from it, right? Get a book, stay away from it. Music, stay away from it, right? Worldliness. Or you'll end up being like Demas. Don't be a Demas. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this wonderful day. And Lord, I pray that this message was a help. And Lord, I pray that people would grasp what I was trying to bring across that could hinder us in our lives. Lord, it's not that I'm trying to be mean. I know that you know that. It's because I love these people and care for them. And Lord, I know that you love them and you want them to walk with you. And I pray they would see that. And I pray even tonight they would allow you to examine their heart. And allow them to check, Lord, and say, Lord, is there anything that's in my life that I need to remove? Lord, is there anything that's drawing me away from you? Lord, I need to get rid of. Lord, I pray tonight would be this message would challenge us, would get us to think about that, and get us not to try to fit in with the wickedness of the world, but Lord, to stand up for you. As your word says, to be a particular people, separated for you, being holy. And I pray that would be our desire tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.